Well, I am told that it was Mae West who said, "I was pure as the driven snow until I drifted." It was a character in one of Oscar Wilde's plays who said, "I can resist everything except temptation." And we understand those quotes, don't we? Because we know all about temptation. Temptation is a part of all of our lives. It is a constant reality. It is a difficult struggle for all Christians. In fact, the author Peter Gomes writes these words about temptation. He says, "Temptation is the single greatest source of human anxiety. In the thousands of people with whom I have counseled over the years," he writes, "of my ministry, I have found the problem of temptation to be at the heart of personal anxiety." We know that's true. Temptation whispers to us. It hovers around us. Temptation notices our weaknesses, and like a large cat in the safari that chooses the weakest member of the herd to attack, temptation comes after our weaknesses with such fury and such force that it is often difficult for us to resist, sometimes impossible. Temptation is something we live with every day. It's something we struggle with. It's something we fight against constantly. And often the temptation in our life causes us to feel guilty. As Christians, we begin to ask questions. If I'm a good and faithful Christian, then why do I struggle with temptation? If I believe in Jesus Christ, then why is temptation such a struggle for me? If I've given my life to Christ, haven't I become a new creation? So if that's the case, then why do I struggle with temptation? Why is it such a difficulty for me? I assure you this morning, if you feel that way, you are not alone. The reality is most Christians feel guilty about their struggles with temptation. And often what happens to us is we begin to feel so guilty about how we're struggling with temptation in our lives that what we decide to do is simply ignore our temptations and just hope they'll go away. Well, this morning, let's not ignore our temptations. This morning, I want to invite you to think seriously with me about the temptations that you face every day in your life. In fact, let's think about these temptations in light of our scripture passage for this morning. For as we read about Jesus and how he deals with temptations, as we listen to these words of scripture, there are some powerful lessons for each one of us about how we are to deal with temptation in our own lives. Think about the lessons that we learn from Jesus about temptation. Number one is this: temptation is not a sin. To be tempted is not a sin. It is very easy for us in our lives to confuse being tempted with committing a sin. In fact, sometimes we feel so guilty and so shameful about the things that tempt us that it causes us to feel guilty and shameful, that makes us think we have already sinned because we are tempted. But let us be clear, temptation is not the same as sin. Just because you are tempted to do something does not mean that you have committed a sin. When you are faced with an awkward situation in a relationship and you're tempted to be dishonest, when you're tempted to lie to a family member or a friend about something because telling that lie is easier than telling the truth, the temptation to lie is not a sin. When you see something that does not belong to you, but you would really like to have it, and you could easily take it and no one would ever know. In fact, the rightful owners would probably never even miss it. The temptation to take that thing for yourself is not a sin. when you are talking with a friend and you desperately want to share some juicy gossip that you just heard earlier that day or earlier in the week, your desire to tell him or her the news is not a sin. You see, there's no doubt in our lives that these things are tempting. We are human, and we are constantly being bombarded by different kinds of temptations, but simply being tempted is not a sin. Jesus, in our passage, was tempted, but he did not sin. Temptation can lead us to sin, but in and of itself, it is not sin. What we recognize this morning is that no one who has ever walked the face of this earth has ever been exempt from temptation. It is part of being human. Where there is life and consciousness, at least for humans, there will also be temptations. The great 15th century mystic Thomas A. Kempis wrote, "So long as we live in this world, we cannot be without temptation." Even the most dedicated, faithful Christians struggle with temptations in their lives. But temptation itself does not equal sin or failure. As Shakespeare wrote, "'Tis one thing to be tempted, another thing to fall." As we look at Jesus and how he dealt with temptation in his life, we realize first and foremost, temptation of itself is not a sin. But that leads us then to a second truth, a second lesson. Being tempted also does not mean that something is wrong with you or that something is wrong with your faith. In truth, being tempted sometimes means that you are closer to God than perhaps you were before. In our text for this morning, Jesus has just been returning from the Jordan, we are told. He has just been baptized. This was a spiritual high for Jesus. It was a mountaintop experience. He was elated. He was overcome with the reality of God's presence in his life. He felt closer to God than perhaps he had in his 30 years of life to that point. But it is in that moment that temptation comes to him. The temptation of Jesus here certainly did not constitute failure on his part. In fact, the opposite was true. Scripture tells us, quote, "Jesus was full of the Holy Spirit," verse 1. He was led by the Spirit into the wilderness where he would spend several days in prayer and fasting. But it was at that very time, at that moment when he was close to God, that temptation came to him strong and in a powerful way. F.B. Meyer, the 19th century English pastor, once preached, "You will be tempted to the end of your life, and the nearer you live to Christ, the more you will be tempted. But the virulence of the temptation," he says, "means not that you are declining into sin, but that you are advancing in holiness." The nearer, he says, one lives in proximity to God, contrary to our expectations, the greater is the influence of temptation. In other words, the more you try to live your life like Christ, more than likely, the more you will have to struggle with powerful temptation. Jesus was as close, if not closer, to God in the wilderness than in any other time in his life. But temptation came knocking loudly and clearly at that time in his life. If you are here this morning and you are struggling with temptation, do not feel bad. Temptation often comes to us in its strongest form when we are moving closer and closer to God. Third, temptation is not always bad. Temptation can build character in our lives. One person has said, "Temptation does for us what the storms do for the oaks. It roots us." Or again, in the words of Thomas Kempis that we read earlier, he says, temptations are often very profitable for us, though they be troublesome and grievous, for in them, in our temptations, one is humbled, purified, and instructed. You see, for us, the wilderness of temptation can serve as God's training ground. Temptation can serve to strengthen us, to build up our endurance, to make better persons out of us. Temptation, therefore, does not necessarily make us do bad things. It can actually lead us to do good and beneficial things. Just because we are tempted does not mean we have to fall to that temptation. Temptation can actually cause us to emerge stronger and more effective. One person has said, temptation can become the test that comes to those whom God wishes to use. Now, by that, we are not suggesting that God tempts us for these purposes. Scripture is very clear. It is not God who tempts us. But what we are saying this morning is God can use those times of temptation in our lives to prepare us for service. Temptation endured is holiness gained. Temptation resisted is character strengthened. Temptation overcome is personality moving toward perfection. Temptation can build character in our lives. Well, finally, one other lesson we take away from this text from Jesus' experience with temptation this morning is this. Temptation can even help us to define our goals and our mission and our purpose in life. You see, it was during this time of temptation in the wilderness that Jesus was able to come crystal clear with the realization of his mission in the world. He was able to clarify his goals for the future. Here's what Scripture says. Scripture says, having emerged from the wilderness, victorious over his temptations, listen to this quote, then Jesus, filled with the power of the Spirit, returned to Galilee, and he began to teach in their synagogue. You see, it was after this wilderness experience, after he overcame the temptations in his life, that Jesus could more clearly see his mission and purpose. He was clearly able to see the goals that God wanted him to have in his life, and the same can be true for us in times of temptation. They can become opportunities for us to learn more about ourselves, to improve our lives. The reality is that temptation can strengthen us and help us. Charles Spurgeon once said, "We are never out of the reach of temptation. Those who think themselves secure are more exposed to danger than any others." The key, he says, is to never think that we are above temptation. Our task, therefore, is to be prepared for temptation, to understand that it will be a constant reality in our lives, and then to be ready for temptation when it does come our way. So this morning, how can we be prepared for temptation? If it is to be a constant reality for us, then what can we do? How can we be prepared for it? Let me offer just a few ideas for you to consider this morning. Number one, know and name your temptation. Know and name what it is that tempts you. Each one of us are unique. Each one of us are individual. And what tempts me may not tempt you, and vice versa. We all have unique temptations in our life. The question is, what are you tempted by the most? Is it honesty? Is it money? Is it anger? Is it lust or adultery? Is it illegal drugs? Is it violence? Is it cheating? Is it gluttony or overeating? What is that temptation that is greatest in your life? You see, it is much easier to deal with what we are tempted by once we have named it, once we have cast light on that which hides in the dark corners of our lives. Often temptation comes wearing a disguise, a mask that looks to be something that is very good. Think about Jesus' experience. Jesus was asked to turn stones into bread so that he would have something to eat. Eating is not a bad thing. What he was being tempted to do appeared to be good. But Jesus knew in his heart of hearts that to use his power that God had given him in that way for his own purposes would be wrong. What Jesus was tempted to do really did not seem to be that bad. But he knew it would not be what God wanted. The same is true in our life. If we do not spend time knowing and naming the very things that cause us the most temptation, we just might be fooled into doing something that seems to be good, that appears to be good, but is actually very destructive. Know and name your greatest temptations. Second is this: design a plan for resistance. Know what you're going to do ahead of time to be ready to counteract temptation that comes your way. Be ready. Jesus used scripture in his life to combat the temptation that came to him. Scripture might be a powerful way for you to resist temptation. Find some verses of scripture that are particularly meaningful to you. And when temptation comes your way, begin to recite those verses over and over again to gain the strength and the power to resist temptation. Or maybe for you it's prayer. Maybe you find that praying during your moments of temptation are the greatest and most helpful way to resist temptation in your life. Or it might be best for you, as you resist temptation, to simply plan your day and your free time in such a way that you don't even have the opportunity to do whatever it is that tempts you. Or maybe for you, confession is a powerful tool. Confess what it is that tempts you. Tell a good friend. Tell a minister. Talk with a counselor. Ask those individuals for help. Whatever it is that would be most helpful for you, design a plan of resistance before temptation comes. We know the saying, those who fail to plan, plan to fail. So know what tempts you. Design a plan of attack against your temptation before it comes your way. Finally, look to Jesus as your example. He is our model for life. This morning in our passage, he is our model for resisting temptation. And the writer of the book of Hebrews reminds us of a very important truth. In Hebrews chapter 2, verse 18, we read, because Jesus was tempted, he is able to help those who are being tempted. In other words, because Jesus himself dealt with temptation, he is able to help us, to give us strength and encouragement when we face our own times of temptation. Jesus relied on prayer and scripture and the Holy Spirit to help him overcome his temptations. And he gives us an example of not only one who knew how to deal with temptation, but also of one who faced and overcame temptation in his life. We are promised from Scripture that the very one, Jesus, who knows how to overcome temptations, will be with us when we ourselves are tempted. I read this week that in southern Mexico, there lies the Cueva de Bella Luz, the cove or the cave of the lighted house. If you were to make your way into this cave, what you would find inside is a beautiful paradise. It's a paradise of tropical birds, of lush rainforest. Underneath the cave is fed by 20 underground springs, creating beautiful water courses throughout the cave. And there are lots of fishes that are beautiful that swim through the waters of the cave. The cave itself is home to a spectacular, beautiful rock formations and ponds that lie in between the beautiful rocks. The environment is beautiful and so inviting. But if you accepted the invitation to enter into this incredible place of beauty, you would soon be dead. For you see, the cave of the lighted house is filled with gases that are extremely poisonous to human beings. It's the perfect picture of temptation. Temptation is just like this. It presents itself to us as something inviting, as something attractive, as something beautiful, as something life-giving, as something that will be pleasing and will enhance your life. But the reality is, it is toxic and it is poisonous. This morning, as we hear the good news, let us make no mistake. As Christians, we will constantly be tempted. But remember, being tempted is not a sin. Temptation is not an indication that something is wrong with you or with your life of faith or with your relationship with God. The sin is in following through and doing that which we know is against God's will. And each and every day of our lives, we live with that blessed promise that we read earlier from 1 Corinthians. God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, Scripture promises, He will also provide a way out so that you can endure it. Let us pray. Good and gracious God, on this day we are grateful for the challenge and for the comfort and the assurance that comes from your word. Lord, thank you for the example that was set for us by Jesus himself. Thank you for the lessons we might learn that will help us as we face and deal with and seek to overcome temptations in our lives. And Lord, help us constantly to rely upon Jesus Christ and the presence of the Holy Spirit that empowers us and encourages us as we deal with temptation each and every day of our lives. Lead us, guide us, and bless us in these ways, Lord. For we pray in the precious and holy name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. Amen.